This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and we've got the long weekend coming up, and we get the day off because, of course, it is the Adelaide Cup, so perfect opportunity to talk with John Letts, my horse racing expert. How are you this morning, John?
Yeah, I'm terrific. Thanks, Jordan. Yes, just got up and had a look at the paper, and, well, it must be recycling time again. Last night, Nicola Spiri was awarded the Woman of the Year Award, which I think was fantastic, the Chief Public Health Officer here in South Australia. Pick up the paper this morning. Who phoned us on the front page? Natasha Scott Disclosure.
Yes, I did see that she's encouraging women not to give up on politics because of, the horror week it's been.
Yeah. It has been a horror week. But, and you'll find a lot of this will blow over too, Jordan. And as you know, journalists and, reporters, that they blow it because that's the only news they can get. They can't get any. They can never get any good news reporters, you know that? You read the paper. I don't watch the news because it's all doom and gloom. And reading the paper, well, some of the rubbish that they put in there, I'd just like to buy a paper that's just got the race fields in because I don't want to look at anything else. Also, you know, I spoke to a person this week and they said that over on the York Peninsula, and a lot of my friends live over there, they've got nowhere, there's no vaccination point there. They've got to go to either Port Pirie, Whyalla and Port Augusta, so it wouldn't hurt to, say, have something in the pipeline to go there, would it, really? Because there is a lot of people on York Peninsula and there will be a lot of people going there on holiday. Not to say that they're going to have it while they're on holidays, but there's a lot of people live on York Peninsula and it's a big peninsula right down from Port Wakefield right down to Yorktown. I think that's something that they should look into myself, don't you?
Yeah, because the vaccination hubs are based in Pirie, Port Augusta and Whyalla. But then, that's not necessarily where the vaccinations are being done. So from there, they will send them off to GPs. But, of course, famously, we need to keep these vaccinations very well refrigerated. So, there's a lot of questions around the rollout. Unfortunately, SA Health aren't in control of the vaccination program. It's a federal government thing. So it's a lot of moving cogs here, and hopefully it all works out for the best. But might have to look into it a bit further.
That's for sure. I just love to read these parts. People write into the paper, they write in, have your say and everything. And I thought this was a good one this week, and it's about Albanese. It says, if opposition leader Anthony Albanese has strong views about the job seeker dollars, there is no reason why he and his Labor Party members could not donate half of their massive salaries to the cause and not just for the current year. Hey, isn't this good? Hey, they walk home and they can say, oh, they should be getting jobs. And they're walking home with, what, half a million or a million a year. Well, give us some of that back, you politicians, because I don't see much that they do to earn that money. Very, very little.
Yeah, and, the Prime Minister's on $500,000 a year, just your average member. It would be on $200,000 a year, and then people on JobSeeker on $40 a day, $43 a day now. Yes.
Hey, Jordan, I'll tell you something that really, the other day I was just when I was driving, and they're finding people, when you're coming to stop signs and you creep over the white line, when you come to stop sign, you creep over the white line, okay? And well, you have to indicate at roundabouts, and that's, if you don't do that, well, you deserve to be fined. At the end of my street, I've got a white line across here, but if I don't creep across it, I've got a bus shelter, which I can't see the traffic coming on my side of the road. I've got to creep out so that I can see the traffic coming. And how many times have you pulled up at a white line or a stop sign and you try to see to your right and there's trees or there's something there, there's cars.
Yeah, it's a massive blind spot.
It is. And most of them are blind spots, and yet they're finding them. I think they should have a look at that because I don't think that's fair. We've got stop signs. We've got at the end of the line. I've got to creep over the line because they're telegraph poles, bus shelters, trees, and getting around to that. What about the Mitcham Council wanting to change the date of Australia Day?
No, I mean, that's. I think it's inevitable at this point because the day of Australia Day represents a pretty dark moment in history for a good portion of the country. So I'm for changing the date. It means nothing to me, that date in particular. And so it wouldn't bother me if it's changed at all. And it's just out of respect for the people who it does bother. And I think the people who get up in arms about it, they don't actually care what day Australia Day is on. They just don't like change.
No, they don't like change. But the thing is, the thing that I get that annoys me is, what else do these councils do?
Well, I mean, I don't live in Mitcham, so I can't say.
No. Well, what else they do? It's about time they got out and had a look around, because I can drive around different districts and I can see trees are up into electric light wires in streets, which are dangerous. I can see there's footpaths that have got holes in them and holes in the road. What else do they do? Do they just sit in their office all day? I bet you hardly any of them go out in the car and have a look around and drive around their area and have a look and see what people want. We've got a good council here at Marion Council, and we've asked for things at the Marion Council, and we've had them done within a week, and it's just been fantastic. But they don't just sit around on their hands and take home $250,000 a year or whatever it is, what they get, and just do nothing and just have a meeting once every month or every couple of months and just sit there and have a cup of tea and a biscuit and just say, oh, yeah, well, what are we going to talk about this week? Oh, why don't we change the date of something, or, you know, some of this. Get out with the people. Get out and let people see and listen to people. Don't just make your own opinions, because 9 times out of 10, I reckon their opinions, well, I don't take any notice of their opinions anyway, because I never ever seem to think that they do anything. But our council is very good here at Marion, and they help us a lot, and they do. And within a fortnight or 3 weeks of us requesting something, they actually do it. And that's Chris Hanna. He's the mayor down here. They listen. Now, tell me this. The new footy rules ruining the game. What about this new one where the man on the mark is not allowed to move?
Yeah, that seems... I mean, I find it very annoying each and every year to learn the new rules. As someone who's umpired footy for a few years myself, like, whenever they do bring in new rules, it's very frustrating, because I don't see it adding anything to the game. I don't understand what the point of this one is. Standing on the mark and standing still, I don't understand what the point is.
Yeah, well, you know, the stupid part about this is, well, they're just ruining football. I don't know who makes all these suggestions, or whether they're former umpires, or whether they're outvoted by the bloke that's never picked up a football in his life or whatever. But these new footy rules, they just seem to be ruining the game. Now, tell me this, Jordan. If the guy's got to stand still on the mark and he's not allowed to move, okay? He's not allowed to move. The guy with the ball, he can run either side, either way, anywhere, can't he? He doesn't have to stand on the mark.
Yeah, no. As soon as he gets off his line, then they can move. But, you know, it's annoying, because normally you'd be able to, like, strafe across like an invisible barrier. As long as you don't cross that line, it's fine. I don't get what the point of, you know, having the opportunity to block off someone's run is.
Well, the thing is, if he's got to stand on the mark and the player wants to run around him, that player, does he still have to stand on the mark, or as the player takes off, is he allowed to move?
As soon as the player has deviated from his line, as soon as the umpire calls play on, that player on the mark can move. But it's already, you know, you're on the back foot. And I think that's probably why they've done it, because they want to make sure that if someone's got a mark, they can just run and get ahead. It's sort of like unfairly advantaging the person who has marked the ball and, you know, can play on.
Yeah, well, something that over the last few years not that many years, but has really got on to really annoyed me, is something about people complaining about, you know, about the ambulance ramping. But, and I think there's a guy named Roger Henkel. He actually wrote into the press the other day regarding the ambulance ramping, and he said it was pointed out time and time again the new Royal Adelaide Hospital was never going to be big enough to cater for our growing population. And this is exactly right, isn't it? Because that white elephant there up on North Terrace, $12.5 billion, not million, $1 billion. The quote was $2.5 billion, but the Labor Party spent $12.5 billion. We're paying $1 million a day for about the next 30 years interest on that. You know that?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it, for our grandkids coming along?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all sorts. I mean, just even COVID-19, we're going to be paying for that one for quite some time as well.
I don't know. We're going to get the money. We'll have to get a new printing machine.
Yeah. Double our efforts.
Anyway, just a couple of quickies. With Bruce retiring, you know, Bruce McAvaney retiring.
Yeah. I actually saw a lot of heartfelt messages on social media about Bruce McAvaney. I was like, oh, no, has he died? No, he's just retired. So
he's retired.
I was a bit more worried than I should have been.
He's just part of the furniture in South Australia, and he's just been such a great guy. An interesting one too, Jordan, very quickly. Eddie Maguire's having health issues, I see in the press yesterday, over being sacked. He's more or less gone into like a bit of a recluse. Well, you know, I think any footy club would be happy to have Eddie. The way he wears his heart on his sleeve.
I can't imagine he'll want to go anywhere but Collingwood, though.
No, he wouldn't want to go anywhere, but I really feel that, you know, if he was with us with Port Adelaide, I would be very happy to have him there, because he is he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he fights all the way, and he's not frightened to fight for you.
And maybe then Port Adelaide would get to wear the prison bars.
Well, we get to wear them. Yeah, but as a guy that's just, you know, so passionate about his club, and Eddie Maguire was good for that. But look, let's just hope we don't lose him to the game altogether. Anyway, we'll get over to Moorefield tomorrow. We've got a big weekend this weekend too, Jordan. We've got the Adelaide Cup on Monday, but at Moorefield tomorrow in race one, I like number 8, Davina Kelly, it's called. Davina Kelly, though, I think they want it pronounced, or it's about $5. Race 2, number 10, Horse Girl Virtue, is about $4. Race 3, number 2, Call Me Seamus, is $3. Race 4, this is the shortest one of the day, number 6, Night Passage, is about $2. Race 5, number 4, Annika, about $2.50. Race 6, number 1, The Big Easy, $3. Race 7, number 3, Territory Titan, I think it'll get back into form tomorrow, it's about $7. Race 8, number 3, Arriva Diva, is $4. And into the last, number 1, Larkin, a pretty smart horse, is $2.50. We shoot over to Flemington. It's another big day over there as well. Race 1, number 2, Flying Evelyn's $5. Race 2, number 1, Conceited is $7. Race 3, number 5, is only an even money chance. Odium, I think it should win. Well, it's only $2. Race 4, number 3, Light Samba, trained by Peter Moody. Of course, Black Caviar fame. Won its last two. It's about $4. Race 5, number 2, Oxley Road. Race 6, number 14. This is a great race. This is a really good race. I like number 14 right down near the bottom. September run. It's only about $2.50, but it's very, very good. Race 7, number 6, Quantum Mechanic, $5. Race 8, number 17, right down the bottom. Parody is $6. And race 9, this is the roughie, my roughie for the day, Jordan. Race 9, number 4, Island Jewelry, is about $18 to $20. Now, I'll go through them very quickly again. Flemington, race 1, number 2. Race 2, number 1. Race 3, number 5. Race 4, number 3. Race 5, number 2. Race 6, number 14. Race 7, number 6. Race 8, number 17. And race 9, number 4. Over to Moorefield. Big day there tomorrow and again on Monday. Race 1, number 8, Davina Kale. Race 2, number 10. Race 3, number 2. Race 4, number 6. Race 5, number 4. Race 6, number 1. Race 7, number 3. Race 8, number 3. Race 9, number 1. And my tip for the Adelaide Cup, I know everybody's going to tip this horse, Jordan, but gee, it was impressive last time out. Number 4, Charlie Rose, to be ridden by our own Jason Holder. And Jason, one of our leading jockeys in the state. Be lovely to see it. Even if it's not the horse that wins the Adelaide Cup for South Australia, as long as one of our jockeys, we've only got 10 out of 16 of Victorian or interstate jockeys. So, you know, we're up against a little bit, but love to see one of our locals win it.
No worries. Well, John, thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, Jordan, and I'll speak to you next week.
Will do. That was John Letts, my horse racing expert on your Classic It's Breakfast.